Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When you are an ordained member of the faculty at Concordia Seminary, you get to preach in chapel, usually once, twice a term. The dean of the chapel sends out a schedule not too long before the new term begins, and if you're like I am, you grab your calendar, spot your name, and write it down, and then you forget about it for a while. But you write it in ink, and you don't worry too much about the particulars until they get closer. I think of it as a way of trusting the Holy Spirit, or at least trusting his chosen agent, the dean of chapel. I did that sometime in late October of last year. And about 2 weeks ago, as I looked at my calendar, I saw that I was appointed to preach in chapel today. And my heart sank. Ash Wednesday. To be quite honest, I didn't want to preach on Ash Wednesday. It's because I've always had a problem with Lent. Lent is a time for prayer, for repentance, self-denial, works of charity, spiritual devotion, even fasting. Important things, good things, gifts from God. But they always seemed to me to be about me. And that seemed like work. And I was already tired. Lent just seemed like it was too much about me, and I didn't want to do it. And Ash Wednesday is supposed to get everybody pumped up to go into Lent. And so I didn't want to preach on Ash Wednesday. Plus, it's the last week of the term. And I just didn't see how it would work. Until I read the text assigned for me. Funny how the Bible does that. Truth comes in out of the blue, from outside. Funny, almost makes you want to think it's the Word of God. The text from Matthew 11 absolutely prohibits us, me, you, from thinking that Lent or life or anything else that is really important is really about me or you or any of us. That was the problem in Chorazin and Bethsaida, Capernaum. Now, we have no specifics about Jesus' deeds of power that he did there. Matthew tells us that they were the most of his miracles, or maybe translated as the greatest of them, but they didn't repent. They didn't turn from themselves and what they were doing and what they were thinking. Even though Jesus had been there and done those things, they still thought it was about themselves. And the Lord said, it will be better for the worst of the Gentiles in all of history than for those Jewish towns in Galilee. On the day of judgment, it will be better for Sodom, than for those towns where Jesus did his miracles and the people didn't turn and let him be the focus and the center and the reason. It has to be about Jesus. Lent and life and anything that matters, it can't be about us or our cleverness or our wisdom or our ability or our piety. That's not the way God works. And Jesus knows it, and he revels in it. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and the earth, that the wise and the understanding will never get it. Never get it, because it's not about human wisdom or human understanding or human effort. The Father delights in this way of doing things because it means that the creatures get to be the creatures and God gets to be God. And Jesus is the only one who knows the Father, and only through him can you know that Father. It's not about me. not in Lent or in life, not now, not never. No exceptions. All things have been handed over to him, and this is the way God likes it. I think that I was confusing cause and effect. All those good and lovely and noble things that I mentioned before, prayer, fasting, good works, charity, self-denial, spiritual devotion, all of them are effects. All of them are results. And I don't work hard to cause them because it's not about me and it's not about you. Lent is about Jesus, who says, "Come to me." And he's speaking to one kind of person and one kind only. People who are weary, people who are heavy laden, people who are in need of rest. I was wrong. That works pretty well in the last week of a term. Not because the things that weary us in our study and work here are necessarily the important things. Sometimes I think that may be our greatest sin here. We can overemphasize the difficulty of the work, and we can make it out to be more than what it is. Oh, it's important, and it makes us weary, to be sure. But Jesus is speaking of more, the weariness caused by sin, the weariness caused by weakness, by inability, heavy burdens that consist of the things that really should happen: love for family, witness for the gospel, fearless defense of God's truth, repentance, turning away from sin, the spiritual battle in which we find ourselves engaged day by day. And it makes us weary. And too often we've stumbled and failed and we're tired. And it seems too much too often that it's all about me and all about you. Dear friends, it is not about you. Lent is not about me. It's about Jesus, who says, "Come to me, you laboring people, you heavily burdened ones, and I will give you rest." Lent is about coming to Jesus, who does not turn away people who are tired from toiling, tired from working, discouraged because they are so often defeated and wondering how long it will last. He calls and he welcomes and he will give you rest. For he is gentle and he is lowly in spirit. What a contrast. To those who think they are strong, he is strong, strong to overcome them and throw them down to Hades. But to those who are weary, he is gentle, and he offers rest. And he offers it through a yoke. Isn't that odd? Yokes are about burdens. They're about work. They're about being bound to the will of another, and in general, yokes are heavy. But not this yoke. His yoke is discipleship. The yoke means belonging to Jesus, and he doesn't tell us where we'll go because we wear that yoke, and he doesn't say what we will be asked to do. He merely promises rest. Being a disciple brings rest. And entering into Lent means rest, because that's what Jesus is like. For all things have been handed over to the Son, and the Father has entrusted completely to him the task of making the Father known. This is the Father's good pleasure, declared over the Son at the Jordan and on the mountain. Jesus is the one who makes the Father known to babes, to helpless ones, to the weary. He does it by taking our weariness upon himself. He does it by becoming burdened himself with our burdens. That's the Father's good pleasure. That's the Son's willing sacrifice. This is the Spirit's message to you and to me this Lent. Don't pretend that you are strong. That pretense is a lie. It is a slap in the Savior's face. Don't pretend that you can carry the burdens or wear the yoke. Don't think that Lent is about you or what you will do for Jesus. Lent is about Jesus. Jesus calling to you and to me. Come, he says, turn from yourself and from your sin. Receive the rest that he offers, even and also today at this altar. Peace and forgiveness and a chance to lay aside the burden and to be small, very small, like a babe, like a child. Take his yoke, his easy yoke, his burden that is light because he has borne all of your burdens. Under his yoke, he will lead you in Lent, and there will perhaps be prayer and fasting and obedience, and only God himself knows what. But it won't be about you. Lent and life are about Jesus. You who are weary and heavy laden, come. Amen.